Salutations, possums. Fantana here. Listen, today's show is going to be a best of, not because I didn't want to do a show, not because we don't love you, not because we've got a case of the Mondays. Well, I'll tell you why. We had a wonderful weekend, which we'll recap this coming Tuesday, which is tomorrow. But since Mike's desk, his broadcast desk, is arriving around 2 and 3 today, we thought it'd be best to wait till the full studio, the new studio setup, was ready before it went live. So, till then, enjoy this wonderful best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I thought it was a good joke.
It's a great joke.
It's an old man's joke.
You know what it is? Joke. I would qualify that as a golf course joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So now, the joke that I told last year, that I told you guys about the three women on the beach.
Yes, I remember.
You're about to be when the tide comes in.
Yeah.
That's the punchline.
Yeah. Yes.
This guy tells a joke to me yesterday. He said, I got another good one for you. And this one, you know, you're old and the guy's looking at you in the eye and you're the one that told him the joke originally.
Really?
But it's commonplace. It's completely accepted. Especially from guys that tell jokes all the time.
Like what it is, it's part of an oral history. It's how jokes live on. They're not always written down.
Speaking of oral history, that was the last joke I was doing.
Yes, yes.
It's true. It's so true.
I always, I guess, because my parents aren't funny. And
you don't laugh at jokes.
They don't make jokes that much. So it's not, my dad tries to make a joke. He doesn't tell
jokes.
You've
got a great
well.
Sense of humor, but you don't laugh at jokes.
No. Well, I don't like...
Shtick.
How would I put it? Without insulting Mike, how do I say this? I don't like jokes that aren't appropriate in the workplace. That's the best place.
Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
I don't like, how do I say this? I don't like podcasting or electricity or computers.
Well, you know, his other show is, you call it the No Shtick Zone.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
A No Shtick Zone. Yeah. And so what it is a...
My worlds are colliding.
Inside my lines colliding. That everybody knows in a very small group zone.
Oscar, do you know what a Venn diagram
is?
Do you know what a Venn diagram is?
I love the Big O and Duke show. I love the Big O.
There's a lot of inside.
Yeah.
A lot of inside.
Well, there's too much inside, in my
opinion.
Well,
we've actually talked about it on the show. We're like, if you don't know that, like, we have gone as far as talking about and starting a tab, and never was finished. Headshots were taken. It's a story of our lives, of the characters, so you could refer to characters.
Well, like a chart.
We talk about other people so much.
But I will give you guys credit.
Which is the beauty of the program.
I will give you guys credit.
When I know the people, I know the people, I get caught up in it.
When you feel that you are part of an inside joke, and that's what comes with years of listening.
Yes.
The joke becomes rarer and funnier.
That's how I got into the Junkies.
Yeah.
Because I remember listening to the Junkies for the very first time. You're talking to a guy who grew up listening to alt-rock radio and not talk radio.
Right, because you're cool, right?
No, because I didn't know any better. And my parents didn't throw anything on except for WTOP and then let us use the radio once in a while.
WTOP, your home for alt-rock.
Yeah, no, it was... It was news and weather, and we thought our dad was boring. And
here comes Screwdriver. I'm Neil Augustine.
And then all of a sudden, I'm driving in the car to WVU, and we're listening to the Junkies when they're on at night.
Right.
And I was like, who the F are these guys? Right. And it was Cakes talking about working at Toys R Us and still doing the night show. And I was like, this guy's the manager of Toys R Us, and then he goes and does a radio show? How the hell is that working out?
Mm-hmm.
And kept us company all the way to Breezewood. And I was like, I like talk radio. This is crazy. Nuts.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons we listen to comedy all the way down to Florida is because it makes the time go by.
Yes.
And one of the reasons people stack this show for, 8-hour drives is because, it keeps them company.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. But as you were talking, I was reflecting on... down here in Cocoonville.
Right.
And Midwestern Cocoonville, where the joke they love.
Indiana South, Mike.
That I've been told like 11 times now that is so inappropriate that I can't share it with you here. And they just love it because it's got all the elements.
Can you even give the punchline without it being inappropriate?
I can give the two elements. It involves the Kardashians.
Right.
And a golf ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm certain that this joke has existed in other iterations for many years.
Oh, of course it has. Yeah, of course it has.
It's been upgraded.
But they love the zeal that it's like, is one of the issues that I have.
Golf course, like, or golf jokes in general are, I think, for eternal history have been, I've been told.
Off color?
Yeah, off color.
That's a great racist word for it.
Right?
So let me give you, I'll give you a non-racist golf joke. Okay. But it's misogynistic. It's always at someone's expense.
Off color is, I guess, the best way to say that it never really was something you could talk about or say at work with no random.
Well, I would say not even just work. I would say off color indicates that the joke for some reason does not play in all environments.
It's not just so it's not just racial.
Right, right. It could be anything.
So there's a golfer.
Right.
So there's a golfer and he has his regular Saturday foursome. And this guy is all business. He doesn't pay attention to anybody else. He doesn't engage anybody else in conversation, and he doesn't because he likes to play fast. He likes to get his rounds over. Fast. And so he's playing golf with his buddies, and he's an old guy. He's been at it a long time, and he rarely says anything. And they finally get to the 17th green. And the 17th green is a hole that is right next to the main drag, the main route that goes through town. And they're sitting there, and the guy, you know, is just playing his usual fast round. And suddenly, a funeral procession goes by, and they're on the left, and the guy stops. Like right in the middle of his putt, he stops and he takes off his hat and he waits till the last car, the hearse of the funeral procession, goes by first. But he waits till the last car goes by. This is like 11 minutes, large, huge procession. And one of his playing partners is just stunned by this. And he said, let me ask you a question. Why would you possibly stop in the middle of playing one of the fastest players? You never pay attention to anything and take your hat off and watch that funeral procession go by. And he says, well, I should. I was married to her for 18 years. Bada bing, bada boom.
See?
Look, he
big
liked
win.
That way.
Big win.
He liked that. Yeah. That's
you did. You know what? Yeah, you told it great, though. It's a good
telling joke.
It was great. It was great. It was great.
On the Mike O'Mara show. But
there are, I don't think you said anything inappropriate.
Rob, you knew the punchline late when I started, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did
you know?
I had not heard that joke.
Yeah.
There are times that. I will tell. I would say some older folks in my life in a very kind and willing way, including I would say neighbors of mine or people in my life that say certain things adjectives at times, use certain adjectives or verbs, and I'll say, hey,
nouns are usually the trouble.
I say I don't think that word I know that word isn't used anymore to describe that, and and they're like, you're probably right. And then there's this awkward silence of, am I mad at them or not? But I'd rather help than hurt. That's all I know.
That Kardashian joke?
Yes.
I'm one more effer away from telling it to me. And if that, I'm just going to be like, okay, enough.
I'm curious.
And I don't even like the Kardashians.
I'm curious. And I said it earlier, Oscar, do you know what a Venn diagram is?
I do.
Okay. So I would say that the Venn diagram, the overlap.
Please explain to me what a Venn diagram is.
A Venn diagram is a
food pyramid.
No, it's not. It is a graph of circles. And like for our show, the representation would be a Mike circle, a Rob circle.
Like a mobile.
And it's not. An Oscar circle. And what overlaps, say, this, you put
was
the circles together.
Was it created by Porter Venn? TMOS listener Porter Venn?
Ooh, I'm pretty sure it was.
Deep cut.
Okay. So like where my circle overlaps with your circle, it would be stuff that we share in common. And like where the circles trisect would be stuff that we all share.
Yes.
Say our love of family would be something that our Venn diagram is shared for all of us.
Three pies.
Yeah.
But you can tell a joke. I tell jokes. But in Oscar's diagram, I'm curious. You deal with people. You do business things. You talk to clients. You go out. You glad hand. You do things.
Yes.
Do you have any jokes in your arsenal if you're called upon?
I am not the joke
I understand, but just as a guy would be prepared.
Don't say on the show as well. On all the shows I work on.
No, but do you have like a simple, I won't say a golf course joke, but just like a simple storytelling joke that you have in your arsenal?
A horrific joke.
Is it one that would play here?
That would, I would say what Mike did before the show was so it was baby powder compared to the napalm that I threw down and had a bad experience with when someone had to say, hey, I didn't think that was funny.
Oh,
that was actually racist.
You didn't know you were
that
right.
I didn't know yeah. I was that I didn't know I was being like, I just didn't know.
Totally
and not even towards African-Americans. It was like, I think the punchline has to do with, I would say, Native Americans, but it wasn't even a punchline, but it stopped in my tracks.
Right.
They're like, and I might have been, I would say, 20 years old, stopped in my tracks and said, that's not funny. That's completely not inappropriate, but
you should have
off color.
One clean joke in your arsenal, just in case.
I think of all the jokes written, men with no arms and no legs probably have been the recipient of more jokes than they need
to
be.
And I can think of one of the shortest ones, and the punchline is, hello, my name is Matt.
Okay.
I can break balls with the best of them, but I don't have...
Like, well, but here's what you bring.
Yeah.
And Rob and I don't sit here and tell jokes. No. We all tell stories, but your contribution is you bring when something really horrible happens. No, not the foreign effect at all. I don't think of you as the foreign effect. You're not... You're not really Bolivian in my eyes.
Not even human in my eyes.
I mean, you're not like, you know, it's like you come from
an android.
But that's about it. You are, and you'll be happy to hear this, Oscar.
Born
I consider you fully assimilated.
Oh, thank you.
There
Mike.
You go.
Yes.
But you
American
bring,
me.
You bring these soul bearing, tragic stories, tragic tales. That's your thing.
Hell of a storyteller. Absolutely.
Rob is Captain Shtick, where in the middle of the show, he'll have the one liners and he'll write brilliant stuff and then I just tell stories basically that's kind of what I do.
We all
and then
go I do in different an and I think that's one of the reasons why this show works so well.
The show is fantastic. We're just talking about our interpersonal dynamics,
right?
So yesterday there is what I think was a fantastic inside joke that's had here on the show that I can't talk about on air at all.
Damn it, we're frustrating our listeners because there's so much we can't
but I can tell
say
you,
on the air.
I can tell you later. I stewed on this joke or this inside joke that that Rob and someone else was having.
Give me, since I'm out of the loop on this, can you give me the principles you're talking about?
It would be scorched earth if I said that.
Yeah, I can't reveal my co-conspirator.
I can't. But you and I
but
look
people
look,
so people would be super pissed.
Look at my eyes. When I tell you, I'll tell you after the show, and I found out the inside joke, and I didn't reprimand, but I said, hey, not the place for this.
I believe the phrase was, Rob, don't be a mean girl.
Yes. And then...
and I said, Oscar, you're right.
And then he doesn't know, I stewed on this I would say this morning, last night, today... Where I was like,
it upset you that much?
It upset me that much.
Or you were worried about it that much?
I'm not worried about it. It concerned me enough to know that I need to talk to Rob again after the show. Because what he is creating is a negative dynamic.
Right.
No.
Yes.
Right. No, it's a celebration of people.
Rob and I have worked together for an amazing... What was that? I heard something.
That was that was a successful man in a Maserati driving by this the
wow,
studio.
Yes. That was a...
No, I believe that was a Kia Stinger.
Rob and I have worked together a long time.
Yes.
Yes.
Rob and I have worked together for a very, very long time. So I know where, and Rob knows where, my bones are buried. I know where his bones are buried. Would it be safe to say that in a previous life, you had a bond with a coworker that was solely, as far as comedy concerned, was almost exclusively based on one type of humor?
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Right.
And I would say that also both I and that other co-conspirator were very good at it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
to be clear, you know, this
and it's
was
not healthy. It's not
be,
a good thing.
To be clear,
thing.
No, Rob's
it annoyed
infraction.
Me. It annoyed me.
Well, I wouldn't say infraction. I would say misstep. Was not racial, was not cruel.
I didn't say racial.
Yes,
no,
yes,
no.
Yeah. But for me, it felt like if you are a true friend and a true businessman, you should discuss this with your friend again so they know that they're clear about what you feel like is appropriate and not appropriate.
Exactly. Crystal clarity is what we require.
Wow. It sounds like we're very close to the inner circle here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the Venn diagram.
That's amazing.
Right. Can I tell you a golf joke, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so a guy is teeing up to hit, and the starter, you know, the starter sometimes has a microphone and a PA to make sure.
Or a gun. They go,
psh. Well, they seldom have a gun because it's very noisy.
That's the starter for a race.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. And the starter says, well, the gentleman on the first tee, please play from the men's portion of the team. The men's team.
Why was he at the ladies' tee?
He was at the ladies' tee. And so he's continuing to address the ball, and the starter says, excuse me, will the gentleman at the first hole play from the men's tee? And the guy just totally disregards him, not even paying attention. And the starter says, hey, you in the blue shirt and the white pants, would you please play from the men's tee? And he turns and he yells, would you please let me take my second shot?
Bada bing, bada boom. See, the first shot, Oscar, didn't go past the ladies' tee.
Yeah.
And there, do you both know the rule, the joke? It's a joke rule.
What is that?
If you don't hit it as far as the golf's a weird game. If you don't hit it that far, as far as the ladies' tee, do you know what you're supposed to do?
What?
I don't know.
Play the rest of the hole with your wiener hanging out.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't happen. It's just
that rule
known.
Was invented by Arnold Palmer. But you know, you say golf is a funny game. I think that's why there are so many golf jokes. Is that
right?
The game has such
that would affect your swing, though.
Yes, it
not
would.
Mine.
Not mine.
Oh, I heard a massive laugh. Oh my God!
Rarer than hen's teeth, they are.
Wow!
Yeah.
Oh my!
But the game has so much pageantry and honor that it gives itself. Right. That's why it's such a great. That's why Caddyshack is a great movie because it takes a game that really takes itself seriously.
Okay, but I give you a gentleman who is a joke teller. He has thousands. I think he was in some customer relations field. He had to be. I hope that's what he does, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a old school guy, kind of a corporate guy, and he's funny. And he just tells good jokes, and he's just pleasant to be around. And he had a change in meds that caused him to really like dehydrate, overheat, get dizzy.
Oh no.
He was in really rough shape. So much so that last week they pulled the ambulance up. And you know, people down here, my generation, you know, which is not the greatest generation, where, you know, there were more starers that were just like, and they're all like looking, and you know, very few people were coming up and say, hey, I hope you do okay.
Like, you might not be the greatest, but I think you're top five generation.
It's like I went in and get top five. Thank you very much. That covers like John Adams. That's good. So I go by and I said, Greg, I hope you're okay. And he didn't even acknowledge. So I was worried about him. Lost all his color. And this is legit. And they took him. And then like a day later, he was back out. And I'm like, oh, thank God. But you don't get updates on it. It's just that's the way people are. It's like, well, I don't know. You knew it.
Okay.
Hold on. So this guy is, you know, we're very different politically. He knows that. He acknowledges that in a very funny way. And we have lots of conversations together. And so I see him the other day, and I said, how you doing? And he said, hey, they ran some tests. It turns out I'm on this heart medicine that they said that was probably the reason. They gave me thorough scans. Everything was fine. I said, well, it is great to see you. And his line was, well, you know, Mike, it's always better to be seen than viewed.
That is
better
true.
To be seen than viewed.
That's great.
That is perfect. I laughed my ass off about that.
Works
one.
Anywhere.
It does.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Yeah.
That
He's
works
a
anywhere.
Good guy.
Is
He's
there
a very, very good guy?
Because the green is so, I guess, you don't want to mess up the green on a golf course.
Very delicate area. That's the area you don't want to mess with.
Like, I've been yelled at many a times for taking the golf cart onto the green.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah. Like it happens.
You mallet head. What are you doing? Well, you play in those, like, charity tournaments,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so everybody's hammered.
Where everybody's had, like, 11 beers before they
especially
even
especially when we were in Arizona, I must have played at least 6 or 7 of them because they just send a DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to put this golf cart on the green.
I can't even see the ball. I am so incredibly wasted.
They say to you, They say no one ever rides on the green. And, right. And I'm like,
no, I mean, you don't even ride near the green.
Right. I don't know half of these.
I'm 26
and 27. I'm with other DJs. We're just DJs, right?
Why do you think they make a cart path? Use the cart path.
Might have been 25. Don't know. Was making all the wrong decisions.
Right. Hey, man, I don't play I don't play golf. I play the field, man. Ooh, yeah. I'm a DEEJAY. Yeah. Ooh.
So, but it also probably has a lot to do with the fact that at that point, Hooters in Arizona was sponsoring a lot of these charity golf tournaments.
Right.
And they always would put a Hooters girl in your cart with you. So I'm sure all the guys are like, what's
wow,
this?
That, I never do played in those. Right?
Living
That's
or dead.
Good.
Living. So I want a picture. If there's any EMS and that type of reaction on the course, is there a special cart that comes and picks up a friend that does not ruin the green? Or do you drive the person back to the clubhouse?
No, you never can drive on the green, ever.
No, there's not a special car. They mow the greens, and they have equipment that maintains the green.
Yeah. Great guy, ever, by the way. Mow green.
Mow green. Hey, Mike. No. You don't take over me. I take over you.
You don't drive on me.
That's right. I mow green. I made my bones when you were in diapers.
Terrible question. Yes. I retract it.
Question. I can't believe your lack of knowledge
and
on that,
disrespect to the game of golf.
Yes, and to grass.
And then the other is when you all were DJs and CDs were viable.
Mm-hmm.
When you played music, did you have the? And this is a full pivot, but it comes full circle. Did you have to set up the music for the next hour or the next shift of the DJ coming in for you after you?
It was courtesy.
It was courtesy, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you would stack the hour or 2 hours or 4 hours of music that was ready
and
to
even
go.
When we go back to the Don and Mike show when we weren't playing music per se, I would always stack out the spots for the next person. But the commercials. You set up the next hour for the person as a courtesy.
It was a nonverbal.
Right, like, it's understood.
This is the SUD,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. Liddy never did it for us.
I was explaining that.
Well, that was Liddy's producer's fault.
That's true. And that's odd.
Very strange that man would not be industrious.
Over the top.
Yeah, but manual
labor.
In the music world, did you ever have to do that, Mike? Get the records ready for the next hour and the next shift?
Yes.
Okay.
More the spots than the rest. But usually, I remember stacking tape cartridges for the next guy.
Yeah.
I remember doing that.
So
I remember having to do that, and that was kind of what you were supposed
after
to
after almost 3 years of marriage. This morning, Shannon asked me how I know all these songs from I would say the late 90s, early 2000s, not just because I live them, but what the songs are called.
Right.
And I said, because
artist and title.
Yeah, because when you're on the rate, when you're a baby DJ, half your time is spent like stacking the artist and title and finding where on the CD, when the CDs were viable, what track number, everything.
You actually have a visual representation in your head.
Yes.
I remember
and
stuff.
And she's like, why would you have to do some other, like another person's work for them? I said, it's not a lot of work. You're just pulling CDs off a wall or
she's like, wondering why someone has to do someone else's work. She's worked with Pony for a long time. She doesn't understand this?
But she was so lost in her world of like how music used to work because it wasn't always Spotify and Apple Music or podcasts that I said to myself, this is not even worth explaining. I imagine, Mike, you feel that way when I just said, is there an ambulance cart that comes out and picks up someone from the actual
simply
grain?
Because, you know, because the grains are sacred. As far as our playing field, that's what's sacred. And I've been at multiple courses where people took stuff out on like late at night and vandalized greens. It's one of the things that you do that. And one of the worst things you can do on a golf course is if you are driving the golf cart close to the green and like you'll see it because there are people that still do it down here. Like, look at that guy, and you'll see a cart 2 feet off the green driving around, you know, where he shouldn't be. So that's it. That's all. But I mean, you're not supposed
Why
to.
Why is the cart path so thin? Like just a one.
Well, it's on keto.
Okay. Thank you.
Speaking of keto, I have a keto update today.
Oh, good.
We have to get to that. How about I end with, would you like to hear my Mexican golf joke?
Oh, sure. Why not? And this is safe harbor at this point, Mike, because I'm almost Mexican.
That's right.
But I will tell you, this is
I'm your Robin Quivers.
I enjoyed the, I was married to her. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, me. Me. I can be inappropriate.
But now you have to say, what are you doing?
Rob Spiewak will chuckle at
Howard.
This, but it is a horrible joke.
Okay,
it's one of the worst jokes I've ever heard. Right. Two Mexican detectives were investigating the murder of Juan Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. How was he killed? Asked one detective. With a golf gun, the other detective replied. A golf gun? What's a golf gun? Said, I don't know for sure, but it made a hole in Juan. Oh my God. Yes, that's how I start the show. Yeah.
This is Trip Affleck from Austin, Texas.
Say woo!
Who's the P1 Hall of Fame hustler that all the listeners love?
You damn right. The men want to be like him and the women want to get with him. Or maybe it's the other way around.
Damn! Man, this cat Trip is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I'm just talking about Trip Affleck. When you're ready to make the scene, be like P1 Hall of Famer Trip Affleck and get all the fly gear from the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner, fool.
The best of O'Mara.
So I'm of the school that you buy existing, you do your due diligence, and then you tweak.
Yeah.
And you tweak and you take
as
long as
it
needs.
Like.
Yeah.
And you know what
you,
else?
You
this,
customize.
Yes. This falls into something that we've had as a theme on this show for over 10 years, and that is, remember, you're the client. Ultimately, you're in control.
Yes.
It is your option to say,
right,
no, thank you.
Yeah,
but you don't need to bring them down.
No, don't bring them down. For example, your record player.
Exactly.
That you bought that was filled with rats.
Rats. Infested right? with rats. Exactly.
Yeah, you didn't take that guy down.
No, right. not right? at all. You know what? It was buyer beware.
Buyer beware.
And besides, I got a killing on the other record player, so I ended up really making out.
Well, he's
knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think what they do, especially when you talk about the business model for new home developments, is it is a formula. And down here, I think they've got it up in Northern, they have it all over the country, where you go in and they option you out the ass. And that's how you do it.
Oh, you're a mark. You're a mark when you walk in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask a Rube question?
Sure.
Because I remember as a child, my father used to tease us and break our hearts, because on Sundays he would take us to large homes, because we lived in a townhouse.
Right.
And he would say, let's go home shopping. And we're like, oh my God, we're going to have a big house.
Thinking you were going to go to a house.
Boney just laughed so loud I heard him through soundproof glass.
The idea of him teasing you by showing you homes is hysterical.
Did he do it because of naked cruelty?
No.
I mean, what's the
reason
he did it?
Because he's a tightwad. And he knew that we could afford it, but he didn't want to pull the trigger for roughly 8 years of us going out on weekends and seeing large
now,
homes.
Now, after you looked at the houses, did he allow you to walk down the ice cream aisle at the grocery store?
And get nothing.
But so, get nothing, right.
We'd
right.
sit there, and I remember him, he would go through this process, and it might have changed by now, where... Okay, you pick the model home. You want the Madison. Do you want the Roosevelt? Do you want some sense? So he would go through this process. And
same
then he
stuff
would
exists today.
Pick do you want...
The Roosevelt didn't have any steps, Mike.
Do you want the
circular
staircase?
Right.
Do you want the higher higher end cabinets? We would sit there, and my brother and I and sister, we'd be running up and downstairs. Be like, this is our room, this is it. And then they give him the price, and he'd walk in and be like, okay, I'll consider this. And then we get in the car with my mom, and we were all hyped up, and he goes, there's no way we're moving there. And then he'd say that right away.
He'd take the salesperson. He would leave the sales facility with the salesperson thinking he had a sale.
Yeah. And then he'd get into the car, and he'd say no.
We'd
pack into this little Corolla. And I'll do the best dad I can do right now. He goes, Jolie? There is no way we're moving here. And then you'd hear tears in the back as the three kids
crying.
As kids are crying, right? But
did he ever say, Jolie, when I said I was interested, my fingers, they were crossed.
So, but he did this for 8 years until he...
so sad.
Until he finally came home when I was a freshman in high school, and he says, I've purchased a home. He didn't even show it to us. He just bought it in Olney and then said we were moving in 2 weeks.
Was it a resale?
It was just a for sale that he went on a weekend and bought a house.
Resale, Oscar. Was it a brand new home?
It was a brand new home.
Like he had never been lived in.
It had never been lived in.
Oh, okay.
With excellent proximity to the Orvilles.
Yes.
The house you're growing up in is
the same
home. Has been your house forever.
Forever. Forever.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yes.
That's neat.
But for 8 years, he went and looked. And my mom would fight with him. My sister got older and she got lippy.
4 years for down here.
Really?
3 to 4 years.
Really?
Yeah. It took me a long time.
Oh, my God.
The thing about it is they rely on the shiny new penny, the urgency,
yep.
You know, with all that. It's the same reason these companies, when you really think about it, it's great that they're new. And if you could get a bargain, more power to you. But they have the whole system. You walk in. They usually, you drive into a driveway. That's where the development is. They've got a series of models that are out in front of this development. You pull in, then you walk through the sales center because they don't want you to go look at any new homes without, you know, pressing the flesh of whoever's selling the house in there. And then you go look at the models, and the models are completely tricked out of their ass.
They've got everything.
With every possible thing, you know. This is your butt scrubber that's right in here. You know, it's the classic.
A dumbwaiter. Who needs a dumbwaiter?
Heated floors, yeah.
Yeah, heated.
A heated and driveway
then,
in
and
Florida.
And then you go and say, would you like to see, we have quick ones that are for sale. And then you say, oh, at the price? Yeah, I'd love to see that. And you walk in and it's drywall and carpet.
Yep.
And
exactly.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they, and that, Rob Spiewak, is
how
they get you.
My sister just sold her house in Orlando. And
she's in a different zip code. So she, I know they buy high and they probably sell high, right?
Okay, yeah. Took them 3 months to sell the house. That's
good.
Is that good? It seems
that's
like forever.
Because
forever.
You were down there. Weren't they cleaning and getting set up for the tour when you were down there and you weren't allowed to like touch the bookcase?
It wasn't a vacation. It was like, get up, move. People are coming through.
Yeah. My sister's the same way. Okay. With the price, you know, when you're talking about another zip code, it's usually a different process.
3 months
it's a different process.
For like forever for them.
It's a different process when you can do that because you're sitting there with, you know, with people that will purchase much faster. Rubes down here with me, it's an endeavor. You know, I mean,
you need 3 months for the, to, you know, kind of let the butler find another job.
stuff. Okay, so what about a news tome, like slightly used?
That's
like within 10 years.
I'm not slightly. It'd be 10-15 years.
Okay,
right.
The way I'm looking at it. Hold on. Why is AT&T calling me? Stop it.
They're probably
stop it.
Oh, probably saying thank you
through the phone.
No, I don't know what's going on. I hate AT&T. I really do.
Well, American Telephone and Telegraph.
Your DirecTV. Calling to see how your DirecTV's doing, sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just because they wanted to check up and say, hey, how are you? How's life? How's it going, man?
Anyway, are you getting CNN? It's on 202, you know.
God, they drive me nuts. They drive me nuts. But getting back to what I was saying, I am of the school right now where it seems to me that when you get people, especially down in this state, that kind of age out and are ready to move to a next phase of life, that you are more likely to get to kind of a decent deal than you would if you get the shiny new penny, which you really don't know what the future
let
holds,
me ask you this.
Yes.
Is there a because in your neighborhood I'm not reading your mind. I don't know enough about what's going on and how you're looking. And I appreciate that it probably takes a long time to look for a home. I get that.
Right.
I don't think it takes 8 years and a lot of emotions hurt like my father did to us.
It is what we call the mind game.
But like he was building an Aztec temple. That's what he was doing to us. So what
Xanadu.
What I see happening sometimes is people will wait for their neighbors around, I guess, my area to pass and then buy their house to make a larger house. Is that something you would consider?
I don't understand.
You mean they're going to connect two homes?
You could connect two houses or two properties.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not,
because your houses are so close together. Your tiny home.
Yeah, but I know you couldn't do
it. And zoning would prevent any tunneling, I'm sure.
They wouldn't let you do that. They wouldn't let you do that.
No tunneling for me.
Also, did you know that in business school, when they do a personality test on you, one of the actual tests asks you, what type of home or neighborhood do you want to live in? Cookie cutter? Do you want to live in a neighborhood that has every home is different? And it's part of this battery of tests to see how you conflict resolution, leadership skills. Would you rather live in a home that is customized or that is cookie cutter? Mr. Mike O'Mara.
I would rather live in a place where there were different houses.
Okay. I would say Manassas is the perfect example of that. Your house was different than everyone other house.
And where I'm beloved.
Okay, but right
which
now.
Which will always be my struggle.
You live in a neighborhood where every house looks the same.
They all lived in little ticky-tackies and they all look the same.
Yes.
Absolutely. Identical. Slight shades of different color paint. That's it.
Right?
Approved colors, slight, Mike.
Approved colors. Yes,
approved colors.
That's where I am now. Yes.
So do you think that's weighing you down or is it just the location?
No, what it is location and price and all that. But I, it's a journey and we'll see what happens.
School system is also important. Correct?
By the way, I'll have a report on Monday. I'll let you know how it went because I'm taking her to this new area and we're going to see.
And also, I want to hear more about these cookie cutters. Is there actual cookies involved?
No cookies.
Yeah, I was hoping them. Might-
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
The best of O'Mara.
We are here to congratulate our very own Rob Ford.
Yay!
Who is taking the plunge.
Come on
Rob
in.
Ford.
Yay, Robbie Woo! Ford.
Rob Ford got engaged over the weekend.
Mike, I gotta tell you, I did not find out until just, I would say, 3 minutes ago.
You didn't know until you came into the studio?
You weren't spending time. Oftentimes, you weekend with Rob Ford.
The only weekend interaction with Rob Ford I had this weekend was, hey, Dominique just texted and wanted to confirm that there was no show today. And that was this morning.
That's very true.
Yes.
He tells the truth.
Yeah.
Rofo, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. You're very kind. Thank you.
That is very, very cool news. Tell us all about it. We're very excited. How did it happen?
Give us the details, your age, how you're pressured into this.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
We can let we can throw our darts.
Did you go to Jared?
The romantic in me. We'll find out about The Rock. But we can right now, I just want to hear how it all happened. I always love a good engagement story.
So we were kind of just sitting around, you know, this past weekend or a couple days before and just talking about, it's really cool that we've really just been together for so long.
How long has it been?
Yeah, details.
We got together in 2015, so it's been about 4.5 years.
Oh my God, an eternity.
Yeah, so it's been a while. And
seems like a long time, yeah.
And we were really kind of wondering at the fact that, you know, we've really grown as a couple and really kind of really like how we've evolved. And sorry, I'm kind of blubbering right now.
No, this is emotional.
No, you're not blubbering at all.
It's always hard to talk about.
I'm a romantic.
This.
Yeah, this.
And so we kind of just said, like, well, what if we just kept it going? And then just mutually decided, like, well, let's get married. And so
there was no, like, formal proposal? It just sort of happened?
It just sort of happened mutually. We've always had kind of a modern approach to our relationship, and this is, you know, no different.
So sort of about the same amount of thought into going out to dinner. Goes into making a decision that will affect you the rest of your life.
Rob, you are not
a
friend.
A monster.
How dare you?
You're a monster.
It's not like, hey, we haven't had Indian food in a while.
I'm just saying this. As you are a romantic, Mike, I am a traditionalist, and what I would have liked to have seen is a little more ceremony.
I know. Well, let's let him. He's not done yet. This is not the first
not
couple. This is not the first couple that has had a discussion about it. And then you don't have the formal, you know, get down on. You want it to be like
part
a movie.
Part of me says Mike has been down this road and has had a similar conversation. I believe is the case
that with getting married.
Yes.
No, I've always been the old fashioned. The time.
How long were you together with the first wife before you got married?
5-6 years.
Okay.
And then 5-6 for the second
one. That's what I'm saying. Hello. Yeah.
But you sort of fast-tracked Carla, right?
Did I?
How long were you together?
It seems to be like 8 years. 8 years.
Carla and I have been together for a total of almost 17 years.
Oh, then So you actually.
But we've been married. We'll be married in September 11 years.
So you courted her longer than the previous?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Okay, all right then.
Yeah,
well.
I'm sure that's the way that happened. Why does it always get back to me when we talk about
because you have the
marriage.
Most experience with marriage. Yes.
I do have the most, yeah, but I'm telling but all three of my marriages, and everybody knows that when I was married to Barbara Streisand,
Babs was a handful.
Well, to be fair, you were her hairdresser and you were spending lots of time together.
By the way, if you want to know the whole story, I urge you to rent an old movie called Shampoo.
Yes. With Warren Beatty. Based loosely on your life.
On my life as a hairdresser prior to my DJ-dom. No, we're not talking about me anymore. We're talking about Rob.
Yes.
It's modern when you get together and you said, how about it? It's not traditionally romantic like you wanted, Rob, but
we're not giving this guy a pass, and I don't know the details.
And also, there's another huge factor missing,
and I don't know the details here. Was it just like, hey, you know, let's keep this good train rolling? Let's go to the next stop. Let's both hit engage at the same time on Facebook, and that was the engagement. If that was it, we're not giving him a pass.
Well, guess what? We're going to pause and let him answer that question. When we come back, because we used up a little time here at the beginning, because this is a two-segment discussion.
Going to get a great gift regardless.
Three? No, Rob, I don't think it's
going to
be
three.
We'll come back with Rofo and his love life. The big question, and I'm going to frame it the way Oscar framed it, because it's a good way to put it. Did you two just decide that you would put engaged on your Facebook, and there was no other, there wasn't a ring, there wasn't a dinner, there wasn't a, you're saying it's a modern relationship, and I yield the floor to you, Mr. Rob Ford.
Well, like you said, it is a modern relationship, and like I said, we were talking and decided that we had been together for a long time and wanted to take the next step together. And one thing I love about my wonderful lady is that she cares about the destination, maybe not the stop along the way. She cares about the big payoff, and that's the life after. And it's one thing that's always endeared me to her. She didn't need the ceremony. She didn't want it. And so we just decided we're going to get married. And then that was that. There was no...
When you say she doesn't care about the ceremony, there will be a ceremony. You mean like the pageantry leading up to the ceremony,
Yeah,
right?
The pageantry leading up to the ceremony.
Now, but the one thing that troubles me... I know that...
Don't read ahead. Please, Rob, don't let him ruin this for us. Let him ruin it for himself.
I just have a... but I do have one question that is, is appropriate right now. I know no one likes to get down on their knee. I can give you that. But there's the whole matter of asking her parents' permission before...
What are you talking about? Asking her parents' permission?
Are you Ben Franklin,
for Christ's sake?
A courtesy,
are you kidding me?
If nothing else, a courtesy to her parents.
All the paperwork was signed. Property was transferred. We did everything we had to do.
You don't. Now you're going too far.
Don't ruin this.
I tell you what.
Let's get back to where he was.
Whoever and whenever permission. It happens, if they don't ask me about Julia, I'm going to pop that weasel right in the nose.
I don't think that I would
asking
be...
Asking is important, but not for
I
this question.
I never asked.
Mike, I just want to know other people. Hey, yeah. Should I do this?
Yeah.
Should I do this?
That's true.
I never
he should have outsourced
What's
some
a
of the stuff.
Should I get
I don't
up?
Think I've... In my three marriages, I don't think I've ever asked the family about it. That's
and
not...
Fairness,
see?
Mike.
Oh, thanks a lot. Excuse me.
When you fast-track things derail sometimes.
No, I just...
Are you lining up with your brother on
this? No.
I asked.
Antiquated.
I asked your mom, and I asked her stepdad.
I did, too.
And I would have asked her father, but
you
had
two
passed.
Are in the dark ages. Maddie Masiello, help me out here. Is that antiquated thinking or what?
No, Tony Masiello has to be asked.
I'm in the minority. Yeah. I can't
believe
it.
I'm with you, Mike. We're also coming around the corner here where Mike just lets anybody bunk up at home with his daughter. So
yeah, he's
got a different life.
Modern guy.
this
take a spare room. Try not to make too much noise.
This is antiquated.
I just think it's a courtesy, that's all. But, obviously, they're not building on courtesy or tradition or wisdom.
We're building a new tradition. We're happy for you.
I am too.
One of the first things I heard Oscar say, very under his breath, kind of, when you came in here, was some jewelry store reference that you made. Because as far as the pageantry, but there should be some sort of symbol of this that goes on the finger. I'm a big ring guy.
What what happened after you said, all right, let's keep this train, let's keep this truck trucking, whatever right. it is.
Come on, let's focus on the destination.
We told our families. We told our families that we had agreed to get married.
How did Anita react?
She was very excited.
That's his mother.
I called her, very excitedly, and she said, oh my God, I knew it. This is wonderful.
So she'd been drinking.
A Friday night? A great Saturday impression. Night?
This was a Friday night.
Okay, was there any drinking involved?
No, well, I don't know about her end, but not on my end.
Okay, you were sober.
Yeah.
Okay, good question.
Yes.
Your future wife drinks in secret, does she?
What about?
Well, maybe he was talking about his mother.
Oh, Anita.
Okay.
Okay, so Friday evening.
Yes.
Friday evening, you're here pretty late.
Yeah.
So, because we were working, I remember. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great work ethic, Rob Ford.
Thank you.
So, you like get home after like a long day of prepping this big infrastructure, cabling, upgrade to these studios here, and you say, "F it, I'm just going to get engaged." Like, how does that come? How do you go from.
I'm too tired to not get engaged.
To not say no. Let's just hit the button and roll. What happened?
We had been having the conversation.
For a while now, then.
Beforehand.
Okay, thank God. Because that was a long day on Friday.
Yeah, you're right, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
So you get home. Do you, do you get on one knee? That's a fair question.
What's that?
Do you get on one knee?
I believe he heard the question.
We did not. I did not.
Okay.
Sorry.
Was there a ring?
There was no ring.
Will there be a ring?
To be determined, but again, it's not important to her right now. So
this is great. This is the best it could be.
He has not spent any
money on this situation.
Let me throw this into the equation.
I love this.
Was there a discussion about any kind of ring?
All that she led this discussion, but I will say that all she really wants is just a traditional gold wedding band wedding.
I think you are off the hook as far as big time bucks. But I think, and I think the guys would agree with me that, I'm very happy. I'm so excited about this. I know we're not being traditional. We're being modern here. But just to show the world how I feel about you, if you were to present her with some sort of ring, whether it's an Irish wedding band, whether it's anything, I think, do you think
even
she'd
a video,
appreciate
even
it?
A video doorbell would be nice.
Do you think that if you gave her some token of your engagement,
let's start
a
ring of security together.
Would she rebuff it, or do you think she'd welcome it?
I think she would welcome it. In all honesty, I think she absolutely would.
He's got to get a new transmission on his car. Let's be honest.
Are you separating from me on the ring issue?
I am saying it clearly, she wears the pants in the relationship.
Right.
It's her decision to get married, and Rob's like, let's just do it. Let's make this happen. I love you. You love me. Let's make it happen.
I'm hearing a mutual decision.
When you made the decision, were you both on the sofa? What was the geographic setup of how it went down?
We were on the sofa.
Uh-huh. Together. Watching TV?
Together. No TV.
Ah, so it was a very intense conversation.
We were hanging out with our dog, Fiona, the Doberman.
Oh, that's right.
Kind of just enjoying a family moment.
Was there any food? Be honest.
There was no food.
Okay.
There was no food.
See, now they're making me evil. See, these two are making me evil, too, because now I have an evil question.
Or maybe some DoorDash.
Maybe a handful of treats for Fiona.
Or maybe a special meal would have been nice.
Yeah.
Like you're like, hey, do you both change and gauge at the same time?
I guess I thought that you had to, at least with Facebook, I thought you had to both approve it.
Yeah.
But she just said she was more excited for that part of it because she likes the Facebook attention.
Yeah.
And it's less important to me. So she did it. And then.
Hold it.
It just automatically.
Hold it just a moment if you might. If you might. Just for a sec.
Yeah, yeah.
She likes the Facebook attention.
Yeah, sure.
That's really not the best driving force in a happy marriage.
No. You're looking
that's
at all.
That's the center. Rob Spiewak, that's the centerpiece of your existence.
Yeah, that's your life.
Yeah, well,
You have a happier life on Facebook than in real life.
Yeah, but I didn't propose to Carrie to get attention on Facebook. I'm just saying that. Yeah.
Okay, but rewind here.
I think she looks at it more of like a perk. It's like, okay. This is some exciting news.
Okay,
I'm excited to share this news and to see what the Facebook reaction is.
Let me be honest.
Yes, yes.
Just looking at Rob.
Driving home? Let's see. You're probably on the road still, 8:30-ish.
When he left here.
Because you left late.
Sure, yeah.
And then you get a notification on your phone that says engaged.
No. That wasn't the way it was.
Sure.
Well, because it didn't.
Are you sure she didn't just like do
okay.
it?
No, I'm really sorry. We have to break.
No.
I'm sorry. We have to break. It is going to be 3 seconds.
My prediction comes
Rofo,
true.
I love you.
It's
going to be a 3-segmenter. I didn't know. I was just going to congratulate you, but I swear when you walked into that studio, I was looking at Rob and Oscar, and they looked like seriously hyenas over a cadaver. Is it a cadaver human? No, yeah. over the body of an antelope.
I'll be playing the cadaver.
We'll come back.
I think you're getting off scot-free.
Hey, man, is that Omero Rock?
Yeah, man.
Well, turn it up, man. KTEL Records presents 16 original hits inspired by The Mike O'Mara Show in one far-out collection.
It's O'Mara Rock.
This groovy collection covers everything TMOS. There are songs about legendary P1 listeners. Jolene.
Hit songs about the TMOS wise.
And songs about all the things TMOS listeners love. Have a sight.
You can get on the TMOS Hit Parade by becoming a TMOS Talking Head.
Send your email to Rob with 2 B's at MikeOmaraShow.com and include your name and phone number and explain all about your wild, wild life. I've got some
wild. The best of O'Mara.
Well, I didn't know we were going to spend the whole show talking about this, but one of our own, Rob Ford, a man who has a significant fan base in the Mike O'Mara Show listening audience, has been here for a while. And always been great on the air, always been complicated, always been difficult in certain ways. Yes, Oscar Santana, I was doing the setup, but what's going on?
This is mind-blowing. I want everybody on the show, except for Rob, because I didn't send it to him. That's Rob Ford, not Rob Spiewak.
Thank you.
Look at your phones.
All right.
Because the internet is a cruel mistress, and there may be a swerve here that I'm not aware of, but...
Oh.
I like looking at posts, and I like putting one and one together, or two and two, if you will. And for some reason, your post says engaged on January 1st at 3 a.m. I mean, sorry. Yeah.
That's
New
exactly
Year's.
Right.
Have you been engaged this entire time?
No. I think what happened was she was trying to do, like, just January of 2020, and then it reverted to that because... I'll say what happened January 1st. I was sick with the flu at 3 a.m. So.
Yeah, okay. So how did she
post? It popped up yesterday. I got it as soon as it popped up.
So the date doesn't matter on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is, Rob, do you feel sometimes when you come in here like you literally are going into a lion's den?
That's weird. That's fine.
It's a mind.
We just want to make sure we've dotted all the I's.
Okay, she posted at 3 a.m. then. Is that fair?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, that's weird that it would go back to that
maybe
time.
Just like the dates got weird. Or
maybe
weird
I misprinted on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love your picture, man, with you flexing. That's great.
Thank you.
Like a 30-day time zone problem?
It wouldn't have mattered, though, if they decided to go public with it and they did early. I mean, it's irrelevant, but he was, you know, I need to get back.
I need details.
I know you do. And can I just get this ring thing out of my
system? Please.
Because this is where maybe I'm guilty of being a traditionalist as well. Where if you don't think she'd rebuff it, even if it's a cheapie, just or not, just something where I think it would be a nice gesture. What are your thoughts, Rob Ford?
No, I think it absolutely would be a nice gesture, and that is probably how it is going to go.
He's a romantic.
Oh, good. I'm glad he will.
But for now, in order to that wasn't a defining, you know, prerequisite for us to get to this step.
Well, obviously not. If you're just sitting on the couch and it happens, you don't have time to shop.
Okay. When she goes, I'm going to change our status.
Right.
Like, when do you find out about it?
Oh, she's like, I think I'm going to put this on Facebook. What do you think? I said, sure, let's do it. And then that was about it.
So you were
sure.
You
know, I hate to take the wind out of your sails, man.
No, you're not. This is better than somebody being schmaltzy about it.
Yeah.
I've never experienced this before.
Although I do tend to think that the tone might have been more like, sure.
because he had worked for, you know, 12 hours of Podcast Village, come home and flopped on the couch on a Friday night. Maybe he just wasn't resistant to it. He
was were there any others? So was it fun telling the families and about this? Was it fun?
I mean, obviously, obviously the nerves are there, you know, whenever there's a big life event that you share with them, you know, whatever it is. So, yeah, the nerves were there. But instantly, I mean, they loved it.
Does her family like you?
They were so. Yeah, absolutely.
And yours, her?
They love her. Yeah,
that's great.
She's been on multiple family vacations with us. So, yeah, they love her.
Was there any kind on the weekend, any celebratory dinner of any kind? Or breakfast or lunch?
I would probably say, so we were just busy telling people, doing all, you know, the talking to all the family, and a lot of plans have already, you know, started, so we can get into that. But
have you set a date?
We have set a date.
Oh my God. Said, okay. Well, there you are. Yeah, I mean, great, if you need any evidence of you know, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That is a very
sure.
Is it next Thursday?
These two, I'm just looking at their faces and they're going, Rob?
I said, is it next Thursday?
Oh. So the date will be July 26th, which will have been 5 years since we had our first date.
Oh, that's nice. That's so sweet.
See, Rob, I just want to qualify what I'm going to say right now.
Okay.
That I'm being influenced by Oscar and Rob with this.
Okay? Oh, what's it? And these are real questions. This
is my really personal question.
Yes.
This is not what may be described as a shotgun wedding, is it?
No, it is not. At least to my knowledge.
And there's nothing wrong with hurrying a marriage along because the woman is with child.
Because that's how you got here.
Exactly.
Right?
And I figured it out when I was 28 years old, like an idiot.
When he was 28.
Yeah, yeah.
That's and if it is, then, you know, we'll take care of him.
Yeah.
That's a family. Takes a village.
Sure.
So this is, it sounds you sound happy as hell.
Yeah.
You sound very happy.
I just see, it's very, I guess your disposition, and maybe look, it's early Monday morning. It's been a long weekend. Maybe you're just you like this is how sure you are of the relationship.
Yeah.
But I have, to a man, not had a friend or a colleague ever come in and treat an engagement as if they were just picking out which dessert they were gonna eat. That day on the menu.
I think there was more that went into it than that. They had a conclave.
The sure, why not? Like
that was the Facebook post.
Yeah, I'm saying.
They would have had a longer discussion if they were going to see Bad Boys 3.
Yeah. They're really good for life, which is appropriate.
Rob, was this a spontaneous conversation or did you say, I need to talk to you? Or did she say, I need to talk to you?
This was a spontaneous conversation. Now, we had, you know, conversations before that. So there's been a big buildup, you know, leading up to this us all to get on the same page.
I invite everyone to go back and hear previous appearances of Rob Ford because this is a storied relationship.
Oh, yes, it is.
And it has a happy ending.
It's taking a turn.
Yeah, but that's long. That's like 5 years ago, I remember.
That's right.
I know that he's been in this relationship for a long time, and he was excited about it when he got into it.
Sure.
There were some ups. Every relationship,
Rob's doing,
as you know, has ups and downs.
Yes, it does.
Some come later in life. Let me say that.
By the way, I had a lovely interaction with Mrs. Spiewak last
night. I'm happy.
Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
No,
tomorrow you'll find out. Tomorrow, because I'll tell you all about it. It was good. Nothing but good.
So,
all good. All positive.
She's terrific.
Rob.
Yes.
And this is true. This is a true test.
Jesus. Yes.
All right. And look, this is getting personal.
It is.
And I'm sorry, but I gotta ask you.
Yeah. Sure, please. Right? Yeah,
I'll be the first to tell you the truth as well.
Yes. Yes.
The night of my engagement to Shannon.
Yes.
And she's left the building, so it's fine. You know, you think it'd be romantic. It is. It was beautiful. Your traditional engagement. I was so tired and I was racked with nerves and exhausted that there's no way I was doing Pilates on top of her that night. I couldn't. Like, I was just like, God. I was like, I love you. I'll get you tomorrow. Was there like this romance in the air or were you just like, man, those 12 hours of Podcast Village took it out of me. Go ahead and post and let's hit the sack.
I was able to do what you were not.
Yeah! True love.
True love.
True love. Man.
That's wonderful. That's it. Well, that's always been helpful.
Yeah,
healthy,
man. Good for
kids,
you.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's,
like, Ruffo,
that's always been
like
helpful.
Like rabbits.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Just
the night I proposed to
like
Carrie.
Like Model T's coming off the line.
It never stops. I don't remember if there was any Pilates, as Oscar says, but I do remember being so nervous that at one point in the middle of dinner, Carrie just looked at me and said, "What is the matter with you?" I mean, I was that worked up about it. So, I mean, the fact that you get it without any sort of
God bless you,
mental
man.
Breakdown, mm-hmm. God bless you. Fantastic.
I do. I might not remember details of wedding, of marriages or weddings, but I remember every detail of engagements.
Really?
On the rocks in Maine.
Uh-huh.
On Thanksgiving, I believe, with a put signed on a figure skate. And then they at a wonderful restaurant in Napa, California. Mm.
Risky to do it at Thanksgiving, man, because if it goes badly, it ruins the whole holiday for the rest of your life.
Well, but, you know, wasn't that big a deal. but anyway, that's it. But Ruffo, congratulations
from all of us. Thank you so much.
Keep us posted. I'm going to have to check in with you periodically now, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Just to see how everything's going. And
so July wedding, huh?
July wedding.
Hopefully indoors.
And someday she must come by Podcast Village. I would love to meet her.
Yeah, she's welcome anytime, man.
Oh, yeah. I'll extend the invitation. What
venue? State?
We're figuring that out. So
is it going to be on the second floor or the fourth floor here?
It's very funny.
It's probably true.
So we were just going to do in kind of in the same style as the engagement, kind of just have a very low-key.
On a couch?
Low-key ceremony. With some kind of officiant to make it official. But
I'm licensed.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
oh,
you
wow.
are. Aren't you?
Yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. So
I'll waive my fee.
So I will say that my now fiance got on the phone with my mom, and they had themselves a chat where I was not involved.
Uh huh.
And it turns out the affair has quickly evolved. So
fantastic!
It looks like there's going to be quite the shindig for a wedding.
You know what's great is that's Rob has kept this. Rob and I have spent so much time together that I actually care about him. And I've talked to him and said, in passing, I've said, "Hey, like, are you getting any pressure to get married soon? You guys have been together for a while."
Yeah.
And he like would casually be like, "Yeah, like," essentially laugh it off a little bit, be like, "Yeah, there is a little bit of that." But if you would have said, "You have to bet, Oscar, that Rob Ford's going to get engaged this year," I would not. I would have lost the bet.
Me too.
Because I would have bet against it. You look happy. I'm happy for you. You clearly have the high T. Things are going well for you. God bless
and
you, man.
I should know this, Rob. How old are you?
I'm 29.
That's about 29. The right age, probably.
Yeah. That's 29. Beautiful. Yeah. That is a beautiful thing. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Please pass that along to your good lady.
Absolutely.
And, delighted we had you on the show today.
Thank you.
Annie, Tony, do you like my studio now? Do you like my studio now and my empty house that doesn't have any furniture in it whatsoever because I can't sell my f***ing house?
I was going to ask if Carla left you.
You know, you're a conservative guy as far as the way, you know, you plan your life out and you play the percentages. I respect that question.
But
it's
a
valid question for someone who's just known me most of my adult life.
For someone who's just seeing it for the first time, it makes sense because you're there and the only thing that's left is a framed Red Sox jersey. And that would be the only thing she would have loved.
She's fortunately still with me.
Okay. Okay.
Everything's good. We are here with the co-hosts of Wake Up Washington.
No.
Get up,
I'm sorry.
DC.
We are here. What is it? Get up, DC.
Yeah, yes.
Is there one called Wake Up Washington?
Well, it used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It was actually called Wake Up Washington before.
Oh, this show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're before here with co-anchors of The Morning Flakes. Tony Perkins, Annie Yu. Tony, no, it's Get Up DC on WUSA 9 with Annie Yu and Tony Perkins. And Tony also co-hosts the Donnie Simpson show referred to as I Have More Money Than Jesus.
That's
because
a good
I'm
show.
Still married and I've been paid a gazillion dollars for my entire life. I poop Ferraris with Donnie Simpson.
That we'd be speaking of Donnie, not me.
Yeah,
that's right.
No need for jealous.
Yes.
Donnie. Well, I've always been jealous of Donnie Simpson. Remember we went to the CBS conclave and Donnie was getting up there and I followed Donnie because Donnie was like a last minute show. Remember I went over to see Donnie at CBS corporate headquarters and Donnie had his barbers, his team of barbers in there giving him a haircut in the studio.
Wow.
And then Donnie, I'd see Donnie, you know, I'd walk into the place where we used to play golf and people would be like, okay, is he a member here? Meanwhile, Donnie would be up there, you know, on a throne with Michael Jordan going, hey, man. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how's it going? Hey, how you doing? Huh, let's see. Who am I going to play today with? Let me see. Check my Rolodex. Barack's not available. Yeah. Michael Jordan's coming out today. Isn't this great? Fantastic with my Ferrari. This is fantastic. Yes, sirree. I'm going to drive out from my home, my wonderful mansion, and get out to Lake Manassas, Virginia in 6 seconds flat.
I'm glad there's no bitterness.
No.
That's great.
No, I love Donnie. Donnie's a nice guy. And I know that you have a long history. So, Annie, how is your world? You're a proud mom. You are a delightful co-anchor, and life is good, correct?
Life is great. I'm so thankful. And just to piggyback off Tony's sentiment, I love working with Tony. In fact, I often tell him and remind him that ever since he came, I loved it before, but ever since you came, getting out of bed is so much easier because when that alarm clock goes off at 1:07 and then the 6 alarms follow that 2 minutes after.
And she's not kidding.
And I'm not kidding. Yeah. It makes me spring out of bed and I'm like, I'm going into work with my friend. It doesn't even feel like work. So life is great, Mike. Thanks for asking. Well, I feel blessed.
We feel the opposite way about each other here on the show.
Very much. When I go to bed at 1:07.
Sadly, she's not the only woman in my life who said, since knowing you, it's so much easier to get out of bed. Bolt right out.
So it sounds like you've built a circle where you can keep your other crew over at the show on the outside because you've got other people at Channel 9, right? Well, do they hate you?
No.
Oh my gosh,
Oscar's hilarious.
You get right to the point. No. We all get along.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
they
get along. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm so old that I think of Channel 9 as some of my favorite people in Washington broadcasting. Yeah. And number one on the hit parade would be a gentleman that even people in the D.C. market that are listening to us right now wouldn't realize a guy's name was Glenn Brenner, who was one of the most wonderfully funny guys on and off the air.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys ever had a chance to meet Glenn. You might have, Tony, because he was making the circuit in radio in those days.
Yeah,
too,
I met him on a couple of occasions very briefly, so I can't say we were friends, but I loved Glenn. I think Glenn was one of the shining lights of Washington broadcasting.
Absolutely.
To be honest, you know, after spending so many years at Fox, one of the things that was kind of thrilling for me was to go into the Channel 9 building and be working there where you used to have Glenn Brenner, Max Robinson.
Max Robinson was there. Mm-hmm.
Bruce
Gordon
Johnson.
Peterson.
Gordon
is Gordon
Peterson
still there?
He is not. No. But Bruce Johnson is still there.
Bruce Johnson's
Bruce
still
Johnson
there.
That's been
there a good long time,
43 years.
I'm glad you're happy. And did you guys, when you're doing, so did you say 1:07 the alarm goes off?
Wow.
1:07 a.m. and I set 7 alarms all 2 minutes apart. And I've never, knock on wood, been late to work in the past 16 years.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know what that feels
like. What is the rest of your
science
schedule
fiction
like
for Oscar?
With getting up there.
So,
you obviously didn't stay up for the Super Bowl then.
No, I watched up until halftime and then I caught the actual halftime on YouTube.
Oh, they let you watch Fox?
Oh, it pained me, but I watched it.
So you got the, I did about a half an hour rave on it yesterday because I really think it was arguably the finest Super Bowl halftime show I have ever seen. It stopped the room I was in.
So you didn't think it was too sexy for TV?
No, I thought the women and the men were totally into it. And you know, it stopped the room. Yeah. People yeah. watch that. And I, you know, as somebody older to watch J-Lo, who's 50, just perform like that. And Shakira's fantastic.
43 years old.
I like that it's sexy. I mean, but it's not bad sexy, you know?
No.
I mean,
we've seen worse, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did radio where I saw worse. A lot worse.
Yes. Yes. I used to listen to that radio and fantasize in the car.
It was special. Mike, it was wonderful. Yes.
We would be remiss if we did not talk about a recent update in one of Mr. Tony Perkins' proteges, like in his life.
Oh yes.
Oh, you know what? Can you hang for one more break at least? Can you do it?
Oh
you
yes.
Get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. You can leave whenever the hell you want, or you can stay. It doesn't matter. Good. You can panel for the
okay?
show. But I mean, Annie looks like she wants to go home. Get
Tony's my ride, so I gotta stay.
Oh, Tony's your ride. All right, we'll get. What do you, Rob? One more break for these guys, and
I think
then we'll
that'd
send
be
them
great.
On their
I
way.
I think that'd be nice and fair.
When we come back, I want to because I think I know what Oscar might want to talk about. Stein. When we come back, we'll talk to Annie, you, and Tony
Gary.
Perkins on the Michael Murray Show.
Where are you, Gary?
Oh, Gary.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch a Budge, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the Bonus Game. I hated the Bonus Game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? Blah, blah, blah. I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
The best of O'Mara.
TMOS bonus show brought to you by Meatball. If you like meat in the shape of a sphere, try a meatball. Great in a sauce, pasta, or right out of the jar. Eat a meatball as big as your head. By the bonus show. This is Sid Caesar speaking. Oh, you had to be blottoed when you did that.
I thought it was nice.
Play. Turn the thing up and play the thing.
Yeah, please.
News. Thank you.
Sid Caesar was a TV guy, Oscar. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lord Bloom.
But he will be. One of the most, this is so damn sad. One of the most celebrated drummers in rock history is no more. You can have a little in your audio vault, Neil
Peart. I have some stuff. I'll save it for the vault, though.
God damn it. God, cancer sucks.
Oh, I know.
Neil Peart from Rush died last Tuesday of brain cancer. He was 67.
Young.
It makes me sad because I'm 60. That sucks. The band announced it Friday morning saying, quote, it is with broken hearts and the deepest sadness that we must share the terrible news on Tuesday that our friend, soul brother, and bandmate of over 45 years, Neil, has lost his incredibly brave 3.5-year battle with brain cancer. Rest in peace, brother. Peart never made his illness public, which is just cool, in my opinion. But it obviously had something to do with the fact that Rush had been inactive since the R40 Live tour in 2015. So glad I got a chance to see him play.
As a drummer, can I just ask, because, you know, I like watching musicians play, but you have a better understanding because you are a drummer.
What it takes.
What was it like to watch him, and what separated him from rock drummers? Because I know he did some throwback stuff, too. He knew all techniques.
He loved Buddy Rich. He loved Buddy Rich, which is cool. What separated Neil Peart was innovation and growth and never... I think there were faster guys, probably, but he innovated and he loved sound and he played with sound and he experimented with sound. And so it wasn't just and his kit.
Oh, my God.
The single greatest drum set you will ever see. When Rush went on tour, they mounted it, hardware mounted it to one piece that went on the back of a flatbed truck. And they took that with it, little things like that. And then when you saw the thing, it was just absolutely amazing.
I always, I marveled at the fact, because they would do shots of it like from where he sat.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered how he reached everything. It was that big. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, Neil Peart, Safe Travels, his first album with Rush was, there was a drummer before him named John Rutsey, I think his name, but he joined the band in 75, so he's been with them all for their whole run. Fly By Night, the first album. The hits, Tom Sawyer, you know that one. Limelight, Closer to the Heart, Fly By Night, Free Will, and New World Man, some of the smash hits from Rush.
Such
and,
a band, and you know. I love the fact the industry loved Rush. They just loved them, and they should have, because everybody in the band was exceptional. Their vocalist was off the charts.
They seemed like good guys.
Yeah. This is look, I'm calling my shot. I could be wrong, and I'm sorry for bringing this up if I'm wrong.
Geddy Lee.
No. Was Rush, was that concert the one where Jeff Shamrock threw up in the back of the...
Amen. Yes, sirree. That was the one. That
My memory is still intact.
The only concert we went to as a group. Yes.
I probably, you know, since Neil passed, I probably should call Jeff today.
Yes. Please do. More than 50 years after he played Robin, this proves that you can be elderly. You can be at the end of the line, and you can still be a creepy dude.
Okay.
This guy has been creepy from the get-go. More than 50 years after he played Robin on the Batman TV show in the 1960s, Burt Ward finally got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame last week, and he celebrated by oversharing. Burt told the crowd that his bulge was a little too big for network TV, so they tried various methods to hide it, including pills that were supposed to actually shrink his equipment.
Oh my God.
That's what he says as a 90-year-old man
been saying this story for a long time, and I actually one time went and watched season one of Batman. He is so full of crap.
Right.
There is nothing to be hidden
there.
You went
to go see how big it was?
I went to say, I said, I wanted to see if there was any effective measures between episode 6 and 7. And no, I think this is a totally manufactured story on his behalf, because you know what? Adam West never mentioned it, and he loves stuff like that.
Here's the quote, as he's getting his star, how about a little dignity? How about a little class?
And also, how about raising the bar on who gets a star?
Yeah.
Burt Ward? F him.
He said, quote, I took them for 3 days. These are pills to make his penis shrink. Give me that right there. That tells you how credible this is.
I know.
I took them for 3 days, and then I decided that they probably they can probably keep me from having children. I stopped doing that. I just used my cape to cover it. Oh, God.
Fire!
What the hell? What's going on? Well, maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe he's out of it. 1917, The Surprise Winner. God, I want to see that movie.
I do, too.
At the Golden Globes last week and over the weekend. Not sure how it did with the Oscar nominations this morning. We'll talk about that tomorrow. It dethroned the Star Wars movie, Rise of Skywalker, at the box office. It made $36.5 million, more than double the $15.1 million that Star Wars made. Like a Boss. Does anybody know that movie?
What's Tiffany
that
Haddish movie. Yeah. It's a R-rated comedy.
That was the highest grossing new movie. It made 10 mil, so that's not that big a deal in Hollywood circles.
It's about a guy who wishes happy birthday to everyone every day on Facebook.
Have a boss birthday.
A new study found that half of us let all of our photos, songs, and other files pile up to the point that we've never deleted a single file from any of our devices. 52% of Americans say they've never deleted a file. 33% are holding on to stuff that's more than 10 years old. And four more quick stats. The number one reason we don't delete files is that we're worried we might need them someday. 78% of us have transferred old files to another device to avoid deleting them. 24% of people would be embarrassed if someone went through the digital stuff, especially all the embarrassing pictures. And on average, about 25% of your storage is devoted to old, unnecessary files. Are you guys hoarders when it comes to your devices?
God, I would say I fall into all those categories.
Yeah.
But the one thing that has worked, and I know it's weird and it still mystifies people, is the cloud. The cloud has saved me multiple times.
Yep.
Right. The cloud.
Hey, but also, every time I've upgraded a computer, it's been so much more storage space.
Yeah.
There's really no need to delete this stuff. I don't know that I could find it, but I'm sure it's still tucked away in there.
Yeah.
Just like a napkin and a couch.
That's right.
Yeah. I have family photos and Nicole Aniston.
Also great.
Thank you. And now a little something. Gwyneth.
Gwyneth, yes.
Gwyneth. Oh, boy. Goop.com is selling a candle that's scented like a woman's lady part.
Mm.
Well, Goop was selling them, but they sold out. $75 a pop, sold out. The candle is called, and edit if needed,
right,
but I'm going to call the candle what it is. The candle is called This Smells Like My Vagina. That's the candle. The story goes, Gwyneth was developing scents with a perfume company, and when she tested this particular one, she said, this smells like a vagina. If you're wondering what that scent is, it's, quote, geranium, citrusy bergamot, and cedar absolutes juxtaposed with damask rose. I hope I'm pronouncing these. Is it damask rose? Who knows?
It's and dead ass.
It's dead ass. And ambret seed. So that's the candle's fragrance.
Yes.
And don't worry, even though it's sold out quick, there's a waiting list when it comes back.
That's fantastic. Yay. That's good news.
Why don't we say some koalas? You know?
Yeah, I know.
These candles are out of control.
There'll be people listening to this that will go to goop.com today to get the candle.
Ponies on already.
This smells like my vagina.
Always wanted to know.
On a related note, Goop is discontinuing its candle called Chicken of the Sea.
You win!
I'm so sorry.
You win!
Thank you.
Winner!
Thank you.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.